visiting with another one today, Colleen Cowles, and she has got a really powerful story about dealing with a loved one, a child, with addiction. And I'm telling you, we have seen addiction. I've seen it in my family of origin. I've seen it in my own nuclear family, with members of our family. I think anyone who's saying they don't know people who've been hit by addiction are either naive or they are not telling the truth. That's pretty much my view. Colleen, is that your spin as well?
Well, I think that's pretty accurate, Kevin. Statistics are telling us that 2/3 of all families either have a family or friend that are directly impacted by addiction. And the reality is, if you employ people, if you pay taxes, if you're worried about crime escalating because of drug cartels, we're all impacted.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a couple of great sites here and a couple of great stories for us. What I kind of want to focus on is the War on Us. And by the way, the website is waronus.com. If you don't mind, if we focus on that?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. See, first of all, I'm old school. I'm like old school historically. I've been a law and order kind of guy. But I got to tell you, the older I get and the more I see and the more pervasive this disease is and those who've been affected, the more I think I've become grounded in reality. Reality isn't putting 20%, of the world's population in prison in the United States. That's exactly right. We have 5% of the world's population, but 20% of the world's prisoners. And almost the vast, vast majority are in there because of addiction. And we need to treat it like a disease and not like a crime. And that's really the gist of War on Us.
Well, it's hard to believe that the United States has more people behind bars than any other country in the world, but that's where we sit right now. And it's really impacting everyone, including employers. We've got 8% of the total U.S. population now has a felony conviction. 33% of black men have felonies. So when we're looking at the employment base, 87% of employers do background checks. And hopefully not everyone is just saying if there is a criminal record, we won't consider that employee. But as an employer, I dealt with an employee with an addiction issue, and it's not a pretty picture. It's not something we want to get ourselves into. But you mentioned that your attitudes have changed. I'm not sure that our attitudes have changed, but the world has changed. Because I was a law and order kind of person too. But when we look at what we're creating as felonies now, I mean, realistically, if we look at Presidents Obama, Bush and Clinton, based on what they admitted they did, in the right jurisdiction, they'd be felons. So,
right.
Depending on your political affiliation, you may or may not believe they were proficient in the jobs they had, but I don't think that we should have either put them behind bars or restricted them from working in reasonable positions. And that's what we're doing across the board with people at this point.
So my position's clearly changed. I mean, historically, I really believed that being an addict was voluntary. I don't believe addiction's voluntary. So I would say I have changed. And the problem is that the larger culture hasn't caught on to that, because the medical community clearly believes that addiction is a disease. It's not a choice. There's choices made early on, but at some point it ceased to merely be a choice, and something different had to happen in order to change their lives. And so, yeah, I clearly have changed. And really part of it is the macro perspective, the thought that 5% of the population is on this country, that we have 1/5 of the world's prisoners. I mean, it's astonishing. And so we need to start treating people differently. And as you pointed out, it's a stigma that stays with these people for the rest of their careers.
Well, and I saw some statistics that really changed my thoughts on this too, and I've been researching this for 15 years now. But it's easy to think it is a choice. I mean, after all, someone is taking a pill or putting a needle in their arm. But the reality, when you look at the statistics, unless you have never taken any type of drug or taken a drink of alcohol, between 10 and 20% of people who try something will be addicted, depending on the type of drug.
Yeah.
the other 80% can do the same thing as far as trying something and not end up addicted. And it's a difference of physiological and psychological background. And then I looked at how we're treating addiction, and we've now got medications that will cut the overdose rate in half. It will return people to normal lives. So if we can use medications to treat addiction, then are we really incarcerating people and giving them the stigma of criminal records because they didn't get the right medical treatment? And that's really where we are at this point.
Yeah, and if you read the psychological literature out there, and I've read quite a bit of it actually, you know, one of the main reasons why people find themselves in a situation, part of that dynamic is a lot of self-loathing, low self-esteem. It's the way they perceive themselves. If they had an enormous amount or a healthy amount of self-love and self-esteem, they would likely avoid this course. PMLD, John Blatcher, some really leading figures in this thought. So how sticking them in a prison where they're going to be abused and maligned, how does that help them with two of the most systemic problems, self-loathing and low self-esteem, in the future? To me, it seems like it's only going to fuel it.
Well, and it has fueled it. I mean, that's why we have the epidemic that we have. Yeah, trauma and isolation are two major causes of addiction. So how do we treat it? We stigmatize people, traumatize them, and isolate them. So it's not a surprise that we have a real problem.
It's almost like saying it's not bad enough yet. We need to really make it bad. It's almost like saying that to each of these people. So let me ask you how you personally saw your positions evolve. What happened in your case?
Well, in my case, we actually had two sons that were self-medicating undiagnosed autoimmune issues. And that's typical, where there's self-diagnosis and self-medication. So we had them all over trying to get diagnoses, weren't successful in doing that. And in their late teens, they started self-medicating. And for me, it was interesting seeing the different paths of the two sons, because one did not get tied up with the criminal justice system, or to the extent that he did, we were able to work him through that. The other ended up with a tough prosecutor, and so the one is now an executive father, husband, doing incredibly well financially and emotionally and all of that. The other is still really struggling with opportunities. He's a gifted chef, but because of his criminal record, he has not been able to achieve what he should have been able to achieve. Thankfully, both of them came out the other end. They're doing well, and part of that was working through what parents are told, because so often we're told, kick them to the curb, let them hit bottom. But when, as an attorney, I understood a little more of the system, and I saw how dysfunctional it was, and have some pretty strong feelings that parents who typically advocate for their children really need to advocate for their children and look at best treatment alternatives and try to keep them out of being casualties of the system.
Yeah. WarOnUs.com is the website, WarOnUs.com. So we got about we have nothing left. We had too much fun talking. Colleen, it was really very good. I'm down to like 40 seconds. I was going to let you do a final shot there. But I want to just encourage the listener to check out WarOnUs.com. And you can also look at SurviveYourChildsAddiction.com. Either one of them, great sites. Colleen Cowles, thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for your story and sharing it with our audience and really your important message.